This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
As we learn at your feet tonight or this evening, Holy Spirit, I pray that you teach us, that you open our eyes to see the fullness of your glory, you open our hearts to conceive of the truth, and you help us in all our ways to become more like you. Blessed be your holy name, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And today I'll be speaking on the topic, the codes of power. The codes of power. Oftentimes, I see a lot of Christians praying to God. And as they pray, they use their own codes. Jesus himself told us that it is not in the abundance of words or in vain repetitions that God hears our prayers. You should pay attention to the words of Jesus if you really, really don't want to just do your will. Some of us, we just want to do our will and then claim to be pleasing the Lord. So there are some of us that we are determined to pray to God, but actually we are determined to please ourselves. We do things according to our own emotion, and then we think that's what God wants. There are a lot of us like that, that we do things, we do it, we are stubborn to do things in a certain way. That way, when we do it that way, it pleases us. But that we are pleased does not mean God is pleased. I remember I was teaching an elderly Christian woman about prayer some years ago. And I said to her that Christians don't ask God for mercy. And she said, David wrote, have mercy on me, O Lord, according to the multitude of your loving kindness, according to your tender mercies, forgive my sins. I said, David was not a Christian. And in that time, he had every right to play like that because sin was still an issue. Sin was still an issue at the time. Jesus had not taken sin away. You have to learn the context of a time and how God related with men at that time. For anybody to take the Old Testament template in this New Testament and play it, negating all the finished work of Christ, is foolishness. When you want to please someone, your desire is to do what the person wants, not what you want. In the book of Acts chapter 10, the Bible said Cornelius was offering a sacrifice unto God the Jewish way. The angel of the Lord appeared to Cornelius and told him, Cornelius, all your sacrifices have been accepted, but don't offer sacrifices like this to God again. It is Acts chapter 10. Go and read it. He said, don't pray like this again. Don't pray like this again. Send for Peter. He will teach you how to pray now. That's the simplified version of what happened in Acts 10. The angel came to Cornelius and said, Cornelius, don't pray this way again. Don't pray this way again. Don't act of mercy, kneel down, roll on the floor, call yourself a sinner, and be crying, and be saying, oh, I've sinned against you. I'm worthless. I'm useless. Don't do that again. It is no longer acceptable. Then Cornelius said, oh, but that's what I know. He said, no, there's a better way. Go and send for Peter. He will teach you the better way. So when you look at your Bible the right way, you will see that the codes of the Old Testament are not the codes of the New Testament. Therefore, many pray for hours and they get no results because they do not pray using the right codes. They are using the wrong codes and they want to get the right results. And when you use the wrong code, you are only pacing yourself. You know, Lord, I remember a young lady came to me one time and she said she couldn't get a job after graduating, after NYSC. She sat at home for a year, she couldn't get a job. So one day she went to a church and she went to cry her heart out to God. She said she was in that church for 5 hours, just weeping and crying, just weeping and crying. And that by 2 p.m. that day, she got a letter promising her a job. She went for the interview, she got the job. Within 6 months of resuming that job, she was in EFCC Net. She had made some very critical mistake in the banking job. And it had landed her in like $40,000 debt. And she was already in the net of EFCC. That was when she came to me and she said, oh, this job, I got it from God. God gave me this job. How could this happen? On my watch, I was the one manning the counter for Forex. And then they said 40,000 is missing. Somebody came into the vault and took 40,000. I couldn't account for it. And now I'm in the FCC. I said, God didn't give you the job. God, God didn't give you that job. You wanted that job so badly. And you are within the range of getting a job anyway. If at that level, you didn't even pray at all. After you graduate in your 20s, surely offers will come. It may not be offers you like, but offers must come. It's not everything that is supernatural. Some things are just a matter of time. They will happen. In your 20s, offers of marriage will come. Offers of love and relationship will come. Offers of a job will come. These are a given. Either you are Muslim, Christian, any religion, they will come. It is only for the very strange cases. One out of a million that doesn't get to get any offer of anything good. And those ones are the ones that are let us get up for prayer. There are so many people that don't believe in God that are well established in their careers nowadays. So we do not attribute what happens naturally due to the course of time to the supernatural. The supernatural is different. Those are circumstances of nature. But I told her, I said, God didn't give you that job. You wanted a job desperately. And then an offer came. You took it, and now you've landed yourself in trouble. And she said, oh, so I would have sat at home and said, no, now the offer will have come, a better offer that will give you peace. You know, you get some answer to your prayers, and you know that the answer was wrong. Some of us here will have experienced it. You are praying to God to have a relationship. Finally, a guy comes to say hi, and you say hello. And from the moment you guys began to go out together, your heart was doing big, 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 big. No peace, no rest. You cannot sleep. No, that is not an answer from God. That's not an answer from God. Somebody comes into your life and adds no value, takes away the little peace you have. How is that answered prayer? How? Oh, but because you are praying for it and it happened, doesn't that necessarily mean the answer came from God? The reason is because when you pray in the wrong code, the enemy can hear you pray. I'll give you a good example of this so that you would get what I'm saying. When I was living in Ketu Ekosi in Lagos, Uluyombo Street, I had a neighbor, a Baptist brother, who was my next door neighbor in the fourth flat. I had a young family, and the family is doing well. And this man was working with the microfinance bank. So one day, I went to the airport as a protocol officer to welcome my boss to meet him at the airport at Kumitala MM1. And he and my boss were on the same flight. He was flying down from Kenya, landed in Abuja, joined another flight from Abuja to Lagos. And then the boats were in the same flight. So when the son at the airport he greeted me, but I couldn't speak with him because my boss was already out of the airport too. So I had to jump in the car and go with my boss to the office. When we got back home in the evening, he then called me and he said, "Ah, hey, I saw you this morning. What's the name of that your boss?" "Hey, I saw him in the plane. We were talking, right? And it is my desire that I start a bank of my own. Do you think you can invest? Do you think if we talk to him, do you think you can invest?" Right. So he mentioned it to me. And I said, "Oh, maybe I'll table it with my boss." But I was a staff. I didn't have the confidence to go table anything like that to my boss. So I didn't do anything about it. A month became 2 months, 2 months became 3 months, 3 months became 6 months. Then I heard this man pray. I was walking to my car and I had to go behind his house and I heard him praying and I was praying earnestly and I was saying, "Ah, Lord, this license, let it come out. This license, let it come out, Lord." I could hear the agony. So even though he didn't carry me along, he had applied to the central bank for a license to start his own microfinance bank. But the process was taking too long. And in order for them to grant his license, he was required to have rented an office space, set up a bank, prepare everything they would need for inspection. So you see the problem. So this guy had met investors. They had given him cash. Out of the cash, he had rented an office space. He had gotten contractors to come in. They had done the place where tellers would be. They had converted the room to the vault. They had converted a room to offices, converted the room to his own office. They had set up computers fit for banking. He had spent a lot of money because that was how the banking regulation worked. Then, while he was doing all that, he was processing his application to register a microfinance bank. The idea was he submits the application, they would then send officers to come and inspect his setup. If the setup meets their criteria, they would then issue him a license. However, the money was already being spent. He had collected money from investors, so he was already spending the money. So the earlier he could start banking, the earlier everybody would be able to breathe. So now he had set up everything, he had put in the papers, and the central bank wasn't responding. And yet, month in, month out, he had to pay salaries, even though there was no job being done. He had to sit down and do strategy session. They were all waiting for the central bank to release their documents. So it became an issue for him. So I had overheard him pray. So at that time, they were just about to do the previous administration, the previous government of Nigeria, were just to do their swearing. And my boss at the time was friends with the vice president. And so he had maybe lunch or dinner for the vice president. And he came with his PA and all those other people. And my boss was like, "So I spoke to my boss about it." And my boss was like, "Oh, okay, I'll mention it." And he did. And he did. And they looked into it and they were like, "Oh, why was the things delayed? What was there?" And they told them, "Oh, we're regulating this, regulating that." But within a week, he got his license. He was able to start operating. And it was overjoyed. But you see, He would give God the glory for answering his prayers because he didn't come to me directly to say, help me. But again, I heard his prayers. I heard his prayer in a human code. And then I mentioned it to people that I thought could help. Now, some of you will say, that's God. Oh, no, that's not God. That's me. That's me. A man have knelt down praying to God, but that's me. That's not God. That's not God. So I'm very clear about how God works. Very, very clear. And I'm very clear about how man works. Very, very clear. So in his own heart, he will think that's God. In my own mind, I know I helped this man achieve his dream. If it were God, I wouldn't even be aware of such a thing. If he was using the right code, I wouldn't even know what he was talking about, except the Spirit of God to bring it to me, because the code he would be communicating in would be tongues, not English. Many of us do not understand the difference between your mother language and speaking in tongues. And many of us, we use a term to describe God. We say God hears every language. So that's a lazy man's way of thinking. But I understand. I understand the traditional way of thinking of sorting things out. Did you notice that the white people that colonized Africa did not bother trying to learn your language? They made you learn their own. Did you notice? That's only a few white people speak your language, but we all speak their language because they made us learn their language. Either it is French, English, or Portuguese, or any other language, or Dutch, or German, or any other language of Europe, of the Europeans that decided to come to Africa to colonize Africa. We had to learn the higher language. They didn't learn our language. A few of you can speak our language, but they didn't learn our language. We were trained to hear and speak their language in order for us to communicate with them. They didn't come down. They made us step up. And the same thing with heavenly code. We were made to learn the heavenly language because it is the language of communication that God requires that those of us who are students should use to communicate with him. The human language was a corrupted code. Genesis chapter 11. The Bible says that the whole world had one language and a few speeches, which means the whole world was speaking in tongues as at Genesis 11:1. At the end of Genesis 11, we saw the Tower of Babel being built, and we saw God saying, let us confuse their language, which means the English language, the Yoruba language, the Hausa language, Igbo language, Ishekiri language, Tiv language, French, German, whatever language we then grew up to learn in the flesh, Mandarin and Co. Which then means they are products of a confused reality. A language that was brought out of, born out of confusion. If you understand my class so far, can I see your hand? If you get it. If I didn't lump it together. Okay, thank you. So that then means that to ask God to come and speak our confused language in order for him to understand us, it's like a parent saying, I want to speak Gigagu, language of babies. You know? To say, oh, I want to speak Giga, Gagagu, Gagu, Gaguga. that let me be speak at the beginning to say, okay, I want to learn him to come down to the room. No. We teach babies to step up and learn our own codes. The same way colonial masters taught us to step up and learn their own codes, and the same way the Holy Spirit came asking us to step up and learn the language of the Spirit. So number one thing that you must learn about God is that this code, this way we speak in tongues, is essential to divine communication. Essential to divine communication. It is the code by which we speak and address the things of the Spirit. The Bible says that when we speak in tongues, our minds do not profit. Meaning our mind does not even understand what we are saying. Your mind must not understand what you are saying. It says that it is the Spirit that maketh intercession for us with groanings. And he said that so that we can understand that when we are praying in the Spirit of God decodes whatever we are encoding. And then it brings to us the mind of God. So we speak mysteries to God, and God speaks mysteries to us. The mysteries God speaks to us becomes decoded by the Spirit, and then we understand it. So if you are in the prophetic service this morning, and you heard as ministers began to speak forth, all the ministers that spoke by the Spirit of God, and they spoke the mind of God, because the Holy Spirit interpreted it from tongues into the human language, that is decoding it, for them to be able to communicate with fellow men with it. So one of the very outstanding prophecies was the one about that brother Shegun. So I know the brother's story for up to maybe 5 days now. We had chatted, we had been talking, but I kept it to myself because I was trying to help him through some relationship issues and all. And then somebody I didn't even discuss it with at all came up and said, oh, there's Brazil on the call, this and that and that and that and that. And I was like, wow. So the person was talking about going back, going back, going forward, going back. But I didn't know what the going back meant. So you can see that, okay, this person has a very strong idea what this person is dealing with in the course of the prophecy. But you will also know that she heard from God. She didn't hear from any human being, because if she heard from any human being, she would have said some of the things I corrected. And I said, no, this is about relationship, not about either going back to Nigeria or traveling. She would have. So you will know she heard from God. And all those lines are really there, which was why Apostle Paul said, when we prophesy, we shall have somebody, an elder, who will sit on prophecies and correct certain nuances that may come with prophecy that are not so clear. So it is important that we all understand that praying in the Spirit is the right spiritual code that God gave to all of us. Number two, praying in the Spirit and speaking in tongues are two different things. They are not the same. So some of us speak in tongues, and we say we are praying, and we think we are praying. So I told you, tongue is a language. Just like English language is a language. It is not every time you are speaking English language that you are praying. I think you don't get it. I'm speaking English now, but I'm not praying. I'm having a class. I'm teaching. I can also teach in tongues, and it is not prayer. Tongue is a language of the Spirit, which means I can buy with it. I can sell with it. I can make declarations with it. I can pray with it. I can sing with it. I can do every other thing that you can do with the English language or any other language with it. So sometimes, some of us, we are speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues usually is a communication between you, the Holy Spirit, the ministering spirit, and angels. It is rarely, sometimes, once in a while, you can see two people communicating in tongues to each other. That happened in ministry one or two times. I remember myself and Pastor Etai one day, and he was speaking in tongues, I could understand him. I was speaking in tongues, he could understand me, and we were on a call, and it was a very beautiful moment. But that is rare. Usually, speaking in tongues is a bond between the Christian, that's the saint, the Holy Spirit that is within him, the ministering spirits that he commandeers, and the angels that work within a ministry. So when I'm speaking in tongues, as I speak like that, I am edifying myself. That is building up my most holy faith personally. I'm stirring up the Holy Ghost within me. I'm stirring up the ministering spirit that I walk around me, and the angels of God that have been put together in the body of Christ to walk with me in ministry. That is speaking in tongues. So you can be driving and be speaking in tongues. You can be walking and be speaking in tongues. When you are afraid, you can just switch to tongues. Many of us, that's our first response. When we are afraid, our tongues just blot out of our mouth, because tongues help you to pray and helps to bolster your defenses and helps you to build confidence. So you can just speak in tongues. Sometimes you are searching for something. Sometimes you are not even aware you are speaking in tongues. You are walking. Maybe you are thinking about something. You just begin to do shekasa, rakata. After 2 minutes, you are like, wow, I was speaking in tongues. I didn't even speak in tongues intentionally. It was just coming out of me. That is communication, spiritual communication between you, the Holy Spirit, ministering spirits, and the angels. Praying in tongues, however, is when we deliberately decide to engage God in a prayer posture, to have a communication with God as a result of a burden by the Spirit to pray on something, or as a result of a call of a congregation like we are doing now to pray together for a whole month, or as a result of a prayer request that somebody sends to us, or as a result of a news, maybe they call them, they say somebody's in the hospital, or they say somebody is dying, or they say somebody in America is missing, or they say somebody has been kidnapped. So then you will notice that speaking in tongues is a bit casual, because you are not, there is no burden that brought you into speaking in tongues. It is just second nature to you as a result of your consistent work with the Holy Spirit. You just be like in the kitchen, you are cooking, you are listening to a song of the Spirit, and then before you know it, you are so you get to sing in spirit, and then you are doing your daily chores, you are singing, and you are talking in the spirit. It helps to build you up, keeps sicknesses away from you, keeps you away from bad thoughts, lustful thoughts, things that you are not supposed to think about. You are not thinking about money at that time, you are not thinking about economy, you are not thinking about Nigeria or America or London or one police case, or you are not thinking of anything. You are just building up your most holy faith, celebrating, working with the Holy Spirit, bonding with the lover of your soul. So that is natural for every Christian to do, but that is not prayer. That is speaking in tongues. It is good. It is healthy. It is vital. It is very, very advisable that we do it consistently, but that's not prayer. And then maybe your phone rings, and they say, oh, we got to school. We couldn't find a child. Oh, then you switch gear. You know, you are the one that was speaking in tongues that you are doing. And then they give you that, and so you're like, oh no, he gave it. And then you just ramp it up, and then you begin to declare. I declare that child is found. Wherever you are, I declare the wind bring you now, suffering in the name of Jesus. Come forth. Aha. And then you see the difference between praying and speaking, and you realize the tempo of both changes, and the atmosphere react to both in different ways. When you are speaking in tongues, the atmosphere is usually cool, refreshing, lounging. It's, in fact, sometimes you'll be speaking in tongues, and then you sleep off. Sometimes you'll be speaking in tongues from your sleep. You are sleeping, and then you are doing jiggy-dee-bee-dee-bee-na, ma-hee-dee-ba-na-hee-ya-ya-ya. And then you open your eyes and like, oh, I don't want to wake up yet. I don't want to, this is so sweet. Oh, God, I delight the Lord and the Lord delights me. The Lord delights in me. All right, so that's praying in tongues. Now, when we pray in tongues, we do not beg. Because one of those reasons why Jesus Christ said that if you have faith like a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain. So those, I'm teaching you quotes now. So I'm moving to number three. And I don't want to call it faith. I want to call it the practical application of sonship, authority in the place of prayer. So I noticed that some Christians, they rather beg than command. Oh boy. So Christians will rather beg than command, than issue words of faith. So Christians are like that. They rather beg, they think it is more appropriate because they are unholy, they are sinners. How can they stand before God? So they have to kneel down and take a very humble posture before they can pray. And that is a religious thinking. That has no bearing on Christianity. I was supposed to wish that someone would lift up holy hands. So when we pray, we lift up holy hands. We don't have to kneel down. If we choose to kneel down, it's acceptable, but we don't have to. And we don't beg. Why? Because our appeal when we are praying is actually not to God. It is actually an ascension into the place of authority that we might take command over all things. Let me say that again so you understand it. There is a mountain before me, I want to climb it. I tried it the first time, but the distance between where I stood and the mountain was so short, I couldn't gain momentum. So I moved all the way backwards, and then I began to run. And then when I got to the mountain, I began to leap pa, 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 until I got to the top, still using the same momentum. Who climbed the mountain? Was me. How did I climb it? By gaining momentum for ascension. So when a Christian, sometimes when they bring us the news, say, let me give an example. Somebody close to me went to the bank earlier today. And then she mistakenly transferred 17.2 million naira to the wrong account. She had concluded the transactions. She was about to step out of the bank when she noticed that the money she was supposed to pay into the account of her husband's landlord. The husband has an office somewhere in Lagos, and it was due to pay his rent. So he told her, oh, go to the bank and deposit this check, or transfer this fund to this account for my rent. She transferred that money to her tailor. And then the money she was supposed to transfer to her tailor transferred it to the landlord. After she realized it, and she was, she went back. Sorry, I made a mistake. Hey, have you not posted it? Oh, this one said, oh, we posted it, but we can stop the transaction. We can do this, we can do that. And then she called me, Babinga, please, this girl was not with all this money. Ah, you. Okay, so you get the idea. And around that time, because we just finished the wedding service, I was trying to rest and just thank God. So I was praying with the Spirit, but I wasn't praying really, you know, I was just speaking in tongues, and I was lounging and listening to the sound of Brother Muse as he was praying at the time on our prayer line. And so when I heard it, of course, I sat up. I climbed up La Hidi Baroka, Ediana. So I began to pray, and then I began to call on the mistress. And then after a few minutes, I said, I returned the money right now. Without the knowledge of the person that owns the account, then the drama, let the money return. And I finished saying that when I called her, I said, okay, the money has been returned to you. Put your mind at rest. And she was like, thank you, thank you. And that was it. A few minutes later, the bank called her and they said, oh, do I have to refer this transaction? They didn't even need to reach out to the teller to say, oh, transfer the money. Do I have to do it? And it was as if the mistake never happened. Now, I didn't say, God, have mercy, Allah, have mercy. No, 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 no. That's not good. He says, speak. If you shall speak to this mountain, be thou moved, and be removed into the sea. He said, it shall be so. So then, the duty was to speak to the accountant and to insist that the error that was made must be corrected or should be corrected in the name of Jesus. And once you have the assurance that that has been done, you are good to go. I didn't even need to say, oh Lord, we will give you 10% of the money, only that's not our own. We will give you 15% of the money if you will allow this. You didn't have to do that because, of course, she's not the owner of the money. So we commanded the things that ought to be, and the things that by fault existed, we commanded them not to exist anymore, and we did that in the place of prayer. And that is the right code. The right code is to speak to. So when we build up our most holy faith, when we pray in tongues the right way, a lot of us will have cases, maybe somebody is facing a panel, or somebody is doing certain issues, or somebody finds himself in a bind, or somebody finds himself struggling with another man or another woman who is sharing a marriage, whatever with him, or they find somebody who is having a doctor's report, consistent doctor's report of failure. So I notice that many Christians, their faith on the things that they've tried their faith and failed, they lose faith. On the things they've tried their faith that works, they continue to lose their faith. So somebody has strong faith for her career, and her career is doing very well. But she couldn't conceive, and she had prayed, she had fasted, and the babies were not coming. So in that, you will notice that her faith begins to wane. She begins to find alternatives to her faith in the things where she had employed faith. Her faith had failed her. So in those things where faith had failed, she would be like, okay, let's try this, let's try that, let somebody pray for me, who will be there, let me try other options. But if faith is working in something, maybe she had a farm or a business, and by faith, business is blooming, everything is fine, she continues to apply her faith in that direction. So most of us like to apply our faith where to work. And where our faith seems not to work, we tend to lose faith. We tend to apply all the things. That's again the wrong code. That's coding according to feelings. Coding according to human senses. Coding according to human experience. I was at a church on Sunday to dedicate a lady. And they kept really waiting a bit until I was available so that I'll be the one to dedicate the child. The reason for that was simple. The husband and wife had waited for that child for so long. And I noticed that the man is doing very well in other aspects of his life. In ministry, I've made tremendous progress in business also. From being like a son to me, or like a younger brother to me, now he's more, he's a pastor, so, and I'm a brother. So now I have to say, sir, he will do. He's like a son to me, like a younger brother to me. But now he's a full resident pastor of a church. And of course, you know I'm a brother, so I can't just call him by name anymore. It's not pastor so and so. So he has done well. He has done well in his build-up in the work of God. He has done well in his life. He has gotten married. The delay has been for almost 8 years, but he has tried other things. So that's where I'm going. His faith has helped him in some critical aspect of his work, and that's produced results, except in terms of having a child. So he came to me and said, "Oh, we're going to see the doctor. They said we should do this. I mentioned the IVF and all that." I said, "Okay, let's do it." And then again, that one failed. Said, "Okay, they said I should use this. Why I should use this?" Later, they said, "Do I have fibroid?" So the problems kept coming from every angle, from him being the problem, and then to the wife being the problem, and then to the point where they began to talk about, and the wife was not getting any younger, so the wife was really worried that, oh, if I should cross the age of 40, and I don't have a child, I may not have a child again, you know? And one Sunday, I realized that they are losing faith. And faith is a strong code. Like I said, faith is that which enables you to speak to things. You do not use faith to command God. So God does not need your faith. You talk to God as a father. Your children don't need faith to talk to you. My children don't need faith to talk to me. So if we get the idea of faith wrong, we will get everything wrong. I don't need faith to communicate with God. I need love. I need a relationship to communicate with God. So in communicating with God, they got it right. They had love, they had fellowship, they had relationship. They had everything that a Christian should have to communicate with God, which is what all of us have to communicate with God. They have Jesus, they have salvation, they are saved, they are full of the Holy Spirit. They have, in fact, they have a highway of majesty. They will walk into the presence of God because they dwell in His presence perpetually according to the word of God. So faith is not needed to speak with God. Faith is needed to speak to things. Things. Now, for the second time today, you understand my class so far? Can I see your hand? You get it. Faith is needed to speak to things. So when we tell you to build up your most holy faith, who are you going to use what you are building up for? Somebody answer me. If you finish building up your most holy faith, what do you use the faith to address? Write it. Let me see. Thank you. To situations, to things, not to God. Things. Those of us don't know that. We don't see it that way. So building up your most holy faith. And when you build it up, that means you are building up your confidence, you see? Because you are low. This thing has not worked. I've done IVF, it didn't work. I've seen my results, it didn't work. Then you begin to pray in tongues. It will never be wrong of you to say, "God, God, why did you forsake me?" No! You can't build up your most holy faith to then accuse God. No! You build up your most holy faith You womb, hear the word of the Lord. Hakatidia, you are carrying your baby this year. That is what you do. You build up that host because at your own human level, you cannot penetrate into the place, into the flesh, into the marrow. But now that you are full of faith, you can say, Heketibidia, Lakidia Gosa, oh come on, come to me. I receive my baby and I'm delivering my baby. And the whole of heaven will shiver and the babies will come. And they must come because you have used your faith to make the things that be not and call them forth as though they were. That's why we build up most of the faith. It's like building up your confidence. It's like you have a bull, and the bull is always beating you. You want mommy will send you out. You peep. Before you go out, you peep. So you are sure the bull is not on the road. And then you run to where they sent you. You will buy the thing, and then you run back. And then you come in, you run. Why are you running? Nothing, man. Nothing, man. Nothing. Hey, nothing, man. Ah, say, hey, then the next day, other people are playing. Go and play. No, you are looking, you are seeing the bully. Ah, I don't want this bully to come and bully me, to come and embarrass me. One day you will tell yourself, oh no, I'm no longer going to be afraid of this boy. I'm not going to be afraid of this girl no more. If she says what I'm going to say to, if she raises her hand, I'll raise my hand back. If she dares to lay hands on me, I'll lay my hands back. I'm going to resist the devil. He will flee away from me. Why are you building up? Yourself. You build up yourself that you may summon, that you might overcome, that you might be able to reach in your depth and produce the juice of the word of God. That is the code that answers prayer. When we use it right, we use it to change circumstances. We use it to switch. See, to switch our situation. We use it to replace body organs. We use it to kill cancer. We use it to kill all forms of abnormalities. We do this without any problem. Why? Because we built up the momentum, built up the energy, and then we released it like a tsunami. So that was what I called the brother. I told him. I said to him, I said, hello. There was a reason Abraham was delayed for many years before he could have a child. One of them is to build up his ability to command resources, to command things. I said, God takes us through a learning process, all of us, including me. We will go through certain processes, but the essence of going through it, you must not lose it. You are going through it now because you are looking for a child. But the point is, God is teaching you how to overcome all things, how to put your faith to work, how to be an overcomer for life. So God will say, if he has his children on time, he has money on time, he has everything on time, it's like having a child. If like you as a parent, you have a child, you just give your child everything the child needs, school fees, everything, the child doesn't lack anything. Child is going to university. You make sure the child has a padded life. When I went to London recently, I was talking to an old friend of mine, because in those days, he had a cousin at Lautech. Whenever I go to Lautech, I usually go and sit down in the girl's house. I wasn't dating now, nothing like that, but our mother, the girl's mother, cooks, make sure they cook soup, four different kinds of soup from Ilori. They will bring it to Lautech every Sunday for the girl. So those of us who know the code, we will land at our house first thing Monday afternoon after classes, because there'll be food and mommy will cook another one next Sunday. You see? So when she was in school, the mother was always cooking. The chef will cook and they will bring food for her every Sunday. Four different kinds of soup. And all she had to do was make rice or make a bar, and then she'll feed all of us. Feed all of us. So I was asking my friend in law, I said, where is she now? My friend said, she couldn't, that she got married, but marriage did not last. I said, why? He said, I know that the mother spoiled her. She couldn't cope in her husband's house. That she couldn't cope, that it was a very difficult marriage because she didn't know how to do anything. Because, of course, every weekend, the people will come and pack her clothes, go wash it at home. They will bring her new sets, they bring food, they bring everything. So she was a very pampered girl. So when she was getting married, she realized her husband couldn't cope with that kind of a lifestyle. And so she was not marriageable. And so that is how many of us will turn out. If God did not take us through certain training routines, and many of us, what motivates us to learn God's way is the trials that we go through. Because in the course of trying to overcome certain trials, we then learn, we then become stronger in faith, we become stronger in our expression of faith, we become different in the eyes, in the face of the enemy. We then learn how to deploy all our arsenals of war and battle. We know how to praise God. We know how to stand resolute against every fairy dart of darkness. And then God will say, yeah, he has passed through that stage. He is final. So I told my brother, I said, this is the stage you are going through. This is what is happening. You can see from every indication that God is just taking you through a process. So you have to then learn quickly, the way I did. Learn quickly and overcome. Because he was there when I had my daughter. And when my daughter was having serious challenges and I was having the challenges with her, he was aware of everything. So he saw the process I went through and how I broke through later. So I told him, I said, this is the process you are going through. But in your case, it seems as if God is withholding your child. But no, you are going through a process of learning. When you are fit, the baby must come. And within 2 years, after years of waiting, and I saw that they were already giving up, yes, then suddenly their faith soared again, and they were able to have that child. And the reason I'm teaching us this is so that as we pray, we put our codes to work the right way. We pray so that we can set things in their right courses. If somebody else is operating in my father's land, for example, for many years, and I want to unseat the person, this is the time. If there's a sickness in the body that I want to get rid of, this is the time. If there is any entitlement that I needed to, that is mine, but that somebody else is sitting on, or somebody is denying me access to, this is the time. When I pray, I build up my most holy faith. When I build it up, you always know when you've gotten to that point. You are praying. Suddenly you will just see, it will be as if you are so full you want to burst. And then you just open your mouth and you begin to decree. Ha! At that moment, it will be like bringing a bazooka to a pistol fight. You just see all the mountains toppling before you. Why? Because you have become well armed, totally prepared, nurtured, built up to defeat even the fiercest of foes. And that code helps you in the time of prayer. As I have taught the code today, I expect that many of us in the next few days will begin to share testimonies of victory upon victory. Because you've been praying, my duty is just to help you channel the energy in the right way, so that when you build up your most holy faith, you will use it to break the bank, use it to break lands, use it to break into territory that God has given you, use it to break into the joy you've been waiting for, use it to break into that immigration system, into that multinational company, use it to break and start your own businesses and prosper therein. This is how we use the codes of faith. This is how we put them to work. All right, it's time to give our offering. If you have learned anything today, it will do you very good, very well to give an offering. It is the one code that I don't teach about because it has been abused by the Pentecostals who always seem to tie everything to money. The code of offering is a code of surrender. It is not a code of giving to receive. Of course, it's also a code of increase, but it's a code of surrender. All mine is yours. All I have is you. It's a code of thanksgiving unto God. The offering we are giving, this one is for the poor. What we gave this one was for the kingdom, for Newman City, for the projects we are doing. But every evening, we give for the poor. By the grace of God, we've cleared some of these school fees today. By the grace of God, we've taken care of a widow who has four children. By the grace of God, we've done well. We've done very well. Oh, I see oil being poured on him continuously into a fine pan. See a hand stirring it. Those of us who are into culinary, cooking, catering on the call. There's a special grace coming upon your business in this service. It's another layer of grace for everyone involved in anything related to catering, cooking, culinary, all the chefs in the house. There's abounding grace. There's more demand. There's more profit upon your businesses. I say it as sin. Thank you, Father. I'm asking that the Holy Spirit spread this grace to every other business. Every other person here, I declare an increase. Your course of fire will not be dry. You will continue to experience increase in all your endeavors, in your businesses. Thank you, Father. The Copande, the Gidea Barosa Satisha Tays, Arotosus, Arrakata Shasiti, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name, Father. Glory, honor, and adoration to your holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you for answering all our prayers and for meeting all our needs. We give you glory. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout glory.
Glory.
We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.